This is Kent Porter. I hope these podcasts change the way you manage people, relationships, and conversations, that by challenging your assumptions, you will discover a better way. The topic is delegation. It seems many consider delegation their birthright, that they were born delegators. However, my experience tells me that most of us have not thought much about delegation. How many times have you delegated something to someone and they come back and it's not what you asked for, or the reverse? How often have you done a project, taken it to a boss or a peer, and have them say, "This is not what I want"? The problem is we don't want to slow down in order to save time. We don't want to assign a process to delegation. An 8-step process, which, by the way, if you go to porterleadership.com, you'll find under written materials, delegation 8 steps, and also part of this podcast, you'll find delegation expanded. So what is a process for delegation? An 8-step process is you give them a sheet with 8 steps for them to fill in the blanks, or you flip it around. In case someone is delegating to you, you ask their permission to fill out your sheet, 8 steps of delegation, which are: 1, what does the outcome look like? 2, when do you need it by? 3, what's the budget? 4, what resources do I get? Such as, you know, you should really talk to so-and-so, or check here in the files and you'll find, etc. 5, what decisions can I make? 6, what decisions do I need to check with you on? 7, what will our checkpoints be along the way? In other words, how often will we meet to calibrate on how I'm doing versus waiting until the end of the project to evaluate it? And 8, how will we know that the project is well done? In other words, how will we measure results? If you would use the 8-step process when you're delegating, your direct reports or peers would feel you've taken enough time to ensure their success. Flip it around the other way. If your boss were to use this with you, I think you would be appreciative. So does it work? Yes, when you use it. When does it not work? When you don't use it. Why don't you use it? You forget. You're in a hurry. You're not used to it. Requires a change of behavior. You look foolish. Nobody else is using it, etc. So that's a very practical, pragmatic approach to delegation. Let's talk a little bit about the philosophical issues of delegation. It's assuming you've gotten past, it's a lot faster if I do it, or I know more than they know. If you want to guarantee results, then you have to do it yourself. Assuming you've moved beyond that, philosophically, you're looking at letting go. And letting go means to build trust and relationships. Letting go means to build skills and bench strength. Letting go is not to control another or micromanage another. Letting go is to allow them to learn and learn from consequences. Now, realistically, I would build a box around the consequences. In other words, I don't think you would want somebody making a $1 million mistake, but a $100 mistake is probably acceptable. Letting go means to periodically check back and see how things are going, not to abandon them. Letting go is to let them make the most out of this opportunity. Letting go is to provide them with the what and let them decide on the how. Now, if they don't know how, if they haven't been trained, then obviously that's something you need to address. Letting go is a vote of confidence. Letting go is perhaps to die to your own ego and your own need for control. Letting go is to be, again, to paint a picture of what they can become. Letting go is to fear less and trust more. Hopefully you agree with most of this, but challenge yourself. Do you do it? Can you do it? When will you start doing it? You may be asking yourself, is the risk worth it? I don't know. Are you overwhelmed? Is balance of life an issue? Do you have time to plan and think strategically? If not, then delegation is one of the tools you can begin to get things back in sync. Certainly, setting priorities is another one. as well as learning to manage up more effectively and say no more effectively are other tools, but right now we're focusing on delegation. Here is a component of delegation you may or may not have thought of. Depending on where you are in the leadership ladder, you should become the question man or the question woman, not the answer man or the answer woman. Granted, your having the answers probably got you to where you are at this particular point in time, but if you want to delegate and grow others, you should focus on becoming an expert in questions. So start asking, don't tell, questions like, what do you think should be done? What do you think leads to this problem? What are the pluses? Then what are the minuses of what you're proposing? How have others handled this in the past? How will this affect others in the company? A final point on delegation. My hunch is that people around you are really good at reverse delegating. They come in and say, you know, you've been in this a long time. You have a lot of experience. You're a lot smarter than I am. You've solved this before. You can do it faster than I can. Would you help me out? And various other methods of hooking you so that you end up doing the work for them. When this happens, laugh and tell them that you respect them so much that you will let them do the project and learn. And I don't mean that facetiously or sarcastically. How did you learn? Or how do you expect others to learn if they're not given the opportunity to stand on their own and do it? For additional information on delegation and other topics, visit www.porterleadership.com.